Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here he is. You know, I could be happy tonight, and I'm going to be happy tonight, even though I'm known for my ups and downs, because I was in San Francisco today, and I got to tell you something odd happened. I actually think Romney's going to win by a landslide. Who knows what's going to happen? There's something wrong with the picture. Here is the most liberal city in the United States of America. Here is a liberal county that I reside in, the most liberal county in America. I do not see one Obama bumper sticker. I do not see one Obama lawn sign. And weirdly, I see Romney lawn signs. But wait, there's more. I'm just giving you a little gestalt picture here. I'm in San Francisco today, and amongst the people I look at, and I'm a people watcher, I see a homeless man walking around with a boombox listening to the conservative station that I'm on, KSFO, in the middle of the day. And I'm saying, what the heck is going on? Why would even homeless men, and this was a homeless African-American man, by the way, listen to a conservative station? And it dawned on me, because even he realizes we need a businessman to run the country. Even he realizes Obama's a fugazi and a fraud. Even he realizes that nothing trickled down to him except tyranny. He understands that. There are other indicators for me which tells me that there could be a Romney landslide. I'll give you a few others. Las Vegas Review-Journal, liberal newspaper for President Mitt Romney, wherever you turn. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Romney will win, and why? What gives you encouragement to lead you? Now, look, the media is in the pocket of the Democrat machine. That we know. They're not covering Libyagate. They're giving the president a pass on virtually every one of his scandals from the time he entered the White House. No matter what he's done, they try to pin it on Nixon or on Romney or on Bush. Anybody but him. He's not responsible for anything. Need I remind you that we have a disaster out there? We have a big disaster out there economically. And a second term for Obama would enable Obama to achieve his goal, which is to transform America into a European socialist so-called democracy. This is not what our founding fathers intended. It's not what my grandfather left Russia for. He didn't come here to live in a socialist state. If he had stayed in Russia, he would have seen what socialism brought him. So what is Obama's number one accomplishment as president? Obamacare. It will take over one-sixth of the economy. It is going to impose a series of legislative juggernauts upon every American. Ration care, massive tax increases, intrusiveness like you've never seen. But worse than that, it encodes the federal funding of abortion. I don't want to go into all of these details right now. Let's talk about dollars and cents, okay? We're now $5 trillion more in debt. I don't care whether you're a liberal, a conservative. If you earn a living and you take a look at your paycheck and you see a crazy presidency that thinks that more taxation and more government spending, on a pork barrel spending, is going to save you, then I don't understand what business you're in. We are now $5 trillion more in debt. 50 million Americans are on food stamps. I'll repeat that. 50 million Americans are on food stamps. A skyrocketing development. One in six Americans live in poverty. Unemployment high. Growth sputtering. Federal government now spends more than $1 trillion a year on welfare programs. Do you hear this? Welfare programs, $1 trillion a year. Obama has destroyed our traditional system of free enterprise. He has destroyed states' rights. He has decimated limited government. He has governed not like a president, but like a tyrant. A modern-day Roman tyrant who looks upon our Constitution as a shred of toilet paper, a document to be stepped upon in his desire to become Hugo Chavez. Let me tell you right now, should he, God forbid, steal the election on November 6th with all of these welfare leeches, illegal aliens voting, you can kiss America goodbye. I am the son of an immigrant. I've worked since I'm 5 years old, one way or another. My father forced me to work. Thank God he did. I've been working ever since. I could have quit a long time ago, but I didn't. I feel that my work is important. And I'm telling you that there's no choice in this election except Romney. Now, having said that, is Romney my choice of choices? No. He is not my choice of choices. He's far too liberal. He's a liberal Republican. He's a Rockefeller Republican. And he's more along the lines, I'm sorry to tell you, of a Bloomberg than he is of a rock-ribbed kind of Republican type that no longer exists. You saw what Bloomberg did today. He endorsed Obama because of so-called climate change. Now, what this billionaire lunatic has in mind is nothing more than more money from Obama. We all know that real climatologists say that irrespective of whether you believe man is responsible for some of the climate change, irrespective of that, every legitimate climate scientist is acknowledging that Hurricane Sandy had nothing to do with global warming. Nothing whatsoever. But it doesn't stop the man drunk on Jeroboam's of Bordeaux from telling us that not only did the hurricane result from climate change, but because of it, he's voting for the Fugazi himself. It's unbelievable to me. Do you think that Romney has a chance? Do you think that my little looking around the city today is indicative of anything bigger? Now, remember, this is the most liberal, psychotic liberal city in the country. It's a one-party system. We have the most corrupt government in America, in California. And it's all Democrat. Dianne Feinstein and Richard Blum, if we lived in a sane society, would be tried for war crimes. Jerry Brown, you have any idea what this man is doing? The governor of the state, taking money that was put aside for education and throwing it into the general fund so we can smear off the unions? It doesn't get any worse than this state. This is a third world dictatorship here in California. This is what you get when you don't have checks and balances. This is what you get when you have lockstep lunatic liberals who think that because it's got a D next to its name, it's honest and it's good. Where'd they get that impression from? We have a system that was created with checks and balances. But when you have no checks or balances, what you have is what you get. A bankrupt, corrupt, degenerate administration from top to bottom. Now, will the Republicans be any better? I hope so. But we certainly need to take a chance, don't we? Again, I ask you, what have you seen, what have you heard that gives you any hope that Romney will actually win? Again, I see Romney lawn signs in liberal neighborhoods. I see even people who 4 years ago had Obama stickers won't put them up. They're embarrassed to associate with him, by the way. They're embarrassed to associate with this faker. I told you yesterday on the Savage Nation, I spoke to a young 30-something a young lady, very educated, very intelligent, who voted for Obama in 08, who said that, out of nowhere, I'm voting for Romney. I said, why? Well, because she said even liberals are saying Obama did nothing. He did nothing, and we're going to take a chance on Romney. You hear this? Now, if I see these little indicators, do they mean that I know what's going on across America? I don't know what's going on across America. I can only give you my microcosmic view in a liberal community. I know in New York there are gasoline lines. I know people are screaming for food. I know toilets are overrunning on Staten Island. I know that it's a tale of two cities in New York. Above 39th Street, it's business as usual. Below 39th Street, there are people that I know who are locked out of their apartments. They can't get back into their buildings. I know that I'm reading that on Staten Island, they're pleading for food. They're begging for food. There are people waiting 4 hours for gasoline. There's no electricity to pump it out of the pumps. State troopers are now standing outside of gas stations. And what does that idiot mayor of New York do? Not only does he endorse the Fugazi, Obama, but then he says, we want to see the New York Marathon go off as scheduled on Sunday. Staten Islanders are screaming, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy, Mr. Mayor? Do you know how many police it takes to police a marathon? We need the police in Staten Island and Coney Island where there's looting. But this is what happens when you have an elitist who drinks Jeroboam's of Bordeaux and tells you let them drink 8-ounce sodas because too much soda is no good for you. High taxes are good for you. Lies about global warming are good for you. Big government is good for you. But soda is no good for you. I'll take the callers on the Savage Nation. And I got great callers now from around the country. I haven't even given the number, which means, of course, that you're starting to hear where Savage is. And it's we're on 140 stations, 1-855-400-7282. 1-855-400-SAVAGE on michaelsavage.com. You know, every day, those of you who are new, know, I got my website, I put all the stories that catch my eye. I only put 8-10 stories up a day, but they're the ones I generally talk about on the radio show. Is the general losing his job over Benghazi? Did you hear about Libya Gate? A Major League American general was thrown out in 30 seconds because he was ready to send a force into Benghazi to save the ambassador and the others. But he was overridden. He was overridden by the quislings in the Defense Department or in the White House itself. He was fired in 30 seconds. General Hamm was told not to do it. He was told to stand down. He said, go to hell. He was going to send in help anyway. Within 30 seconds, after a minute or a minute later, after making the move to respond and save the people in Libya, a general who served 40 years in this country was thrown out of office, and his second in command, a Brutus, stabbed him in the back. A so-called General Rodriguez was taking took over his place as the head of AFRICOM. This is your president at work, which goes right back to what I'm seeing in liberal newspapers, Las Vegas Review Journal, for President Mitt Romney. And they say he's unqualified, meaning Obama. They say the man is unqualified at every level to be the president again. I see indicators which give me hope that we might have a moderate Republican for president come Tuesday. And I'll be with you, by the way. I'm the only major talk show that will be on the air at night, this time across America, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East. By the time I go on the air, most of the polls are going to be closed or close to it. And a good percentage of the big results are going to be in, and I will be with you for the first time in my radio career during the actual results that really matter for a presidential election. I'll be with you that whole night on your local station. If you care to comment on my question, do you think Romney might win in a landslide? What makes you hopeful that he might win? In your own words, what have you seen or heard that he might win? You can give me a ring. Of course, the lines are sold out as usual. We have callers from around America. I will let you know that my mascot, Teddy, will not be barking tonight. Not only is Halloween over, but he's with the groomer. I'll be right back.
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. Bottle of rum. Bottle of rum.
I don't know if it's time for me to start singing 15 Men and a Bottle of Rum. Let's go back to topics here on the Savage Nation, which is, look, I'm seeing indicators that give me some hope that we're not going to be stuck. This is not a joke. Do you understand what's at stake here? And I say take a chance on Romney, because more of Obama means more debt, more red tape, more intrusive government, and less defense against the Islamist uprising around the world, in plain English. A weakened military, a strengthened bureaucracy does not make for a palatable conclusion to my existence, to be honest with you. And again, I want to remind you, Obama is not a normal Democrat. He's so far to the left that he's not like any Democrat that ever came along before. This is not just Democrat versus Republican. This is socialist slash communist versus center of the road, middle of the road Republican Romney. But the vermin in the media are painting Romney as a right-winger, extreme right-winger. Anyone who's not a communist is an extreme right-winger to those morons, like they don't pay taxes. Well, anyway, that's one man's opinion. And I don't mince words about what I believe. I'm not pretending that I'm middle of the road. I'm not middle of the road. I'm very clearly what I am. And I want to remind you, I'm an immigrant son. I've worked hard since I'm a child. And frankly, I see absolutely no question in my mind why Romney has to win. Now, Willie is another story. When you have a corrupt gangster regime like this, let's not mince words, stealing votes, illegal aliens being given the right to vote, where he should have been arrested for what he did. Who gave the president the right to grant amnesty to at least 1.3 million illegal aliens months before an election? The man should have been impeached the next second by the lackluster Republican middle-of-the-roaders. It's unbelievable to me. He had no authority to do that. What American listening to this show, even if you're a Democrat, could say to me, those illegal aliens had a right to become a citizen because this man wanted them to vote for him and other illegitimate Democrats? Are you crazy? Men died for the right to vote in this country.
not to give it away to illegal aliens. Not one question about it from Candy Crawley. Not one question from the baggy-eyed Bolshevik during debate number one. Not one question from Bob Schleifer, Bob Schlepper. Not one of them asked the one question about the illegal aliens. And so we have to take a chance on Romney. But what do you think? San Francisco, Marco, what do you think? Does Romney stand a chance?
Doctor, in the privacy of the voting booth, people vote with their intuition, no matter how unhip that vote may be. Romney's going to blow this guy out like Reagan did Carter in 80.
Well, I don't know if that... Wait a minute. I thought about that. I started looking at real diehard liberals in San Francisco today, and I said, you know, I wonder what they're going to do when they're alone in the booth, because guys like Obama would like to have voting not private. You know that. Unions, for example, thuggish criminal unions, have tried to eliminate the secret ballot. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Precisely so they can intimidate voters. And so, you know, one of the most sacred things in our country is the secret ballot, correct? How do I know how the average African-American is going to vote in a booth? How do I know how the average Hispanic is going to vote when he's not around his peers or friends? How do I know how any of these so-called hipsters are going to vote when they're not surrounded by their lunatic friends? You don't really know what people are going to do in the privacy of a voting booth, do you? No. No, you certainly don't. My ballot, I was going to do it by mail, right? I waited. I'm a procrastinator with paperwork. I hate paperwork. I finally filled it out today. It was too late already. Now I have to walk it into the little old ladies in tennis sneakers on Tuesday, which I'm not looking forward to. It's not mailed 5 days ahead. You know, of course, if I swam across the Rio Grande with it, they would probably take it a day after the election. But here we are on the Savage Nation. And you can call me now, one open line at 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. I'll be right back to take your calls.
Now, I know the president's been trying to figure out some way to suggest he's got some new ideas. Because with all these people out of work, with 3 million more women in poverty today than when he took office, with 15 more million people on food stamps than when he took office, he's got to find something to suggest it's going to be better over the next 4 years. And so we came up with an idea last week, which is he's going to create the Department of Business. I don't think adding a new chair in his cabinet will help add millions of jobs on Main Street. We don't need a Secretary of Business to understand business. We need a president who understands business, and I do.
There it is. That's the nutshell of it all. That's why even a homeless man in San Francisco today was walking around with a boombox playing the local conservative station that I'm on, KSFO, in the middle of the day. I was shocked. And he was an African-American guy, you know, a street guy. And I said, why is he playing KSFO in the street? Maybe he was trying to say something, you know. Just because the guy's homeless doesn't mean he's stupid. You mean you could be a billionaire and be a mayor and be a moron. You know what I'm saying? So don't assume that if a person has no money, they're stupid. Sometimes they know what's going on. At least that's one man's opinion. Now, the evangelical vote is a very important factor in this election. The evangelical Christians who put Reagan over the top are receiving little attention this election. And yet, Wall Street Journal columnist Daniel Henninger says they are Romney's ace in the hole. Did you hear this? Polls from NBC, Pew, and ABC, all libs, indicate that the percentage of evangelicals who support Romney is in the mid-70s. This is interesting. And Ralph Reed, remember him? He said, we estimate that in 08 there were 350,000 evangelicals who did not vote in Ohio, which is the state that may decide the election, said Ralph Reed. And he said Obama carried the state by 260,000. So he figures that if those 350,000 evangelicals show up in the polls this time around and 75% of them vote for Romney, that could win him the state of Ohio and win the election. But that's not the only state. In the 08 presidential vote, evangelists accounted for 31% of voters in Iowa and 26% in Wisconsin, two swing states that also may be pivotal Tuesday. Here's the last point. Evangelicals may be more motivated to vote this year than in 08. The intensity of voters in the faith community is as high as I've ever seen in the last 12 years, said Mark Smith, president of Ohio Christian University. The key issue to them is religious liberty. Listen to what he says. We took a direct hit with the Affordable Care Act, Smith says. He sees it as a direct threat to evangelical groups' health care efforts. So Obamacare, Communist Care, Castro Care, Stalin Care, whatever you want to call it, is anti-Christian in plain English. And so, therefore, that is another ace in the hole that's not being talked about by the wonderful solenterates in the media. Let's take some callers. Susie on KSFO San Francisco, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you doing?
Go ahead, please. I never answer that question.
Gotcha. I wanted to make a comment. I've noticed the exact same thing that you were saying. I don't see a bumper sticker around. I've seen one for Obama, and I live in the Bay Area. I'm up and down 101 and 880 all the time. And just
right.
One.
Right. Now, remember, in 08, the libs used to have them on their lawns, they had them on their foreheads. If they could have tattooed Obama on their forehead, if the state was offering a free tattooing stand and put an O on their head, they would have had it. Everywhere you turn, they wanted to show how PC they were. Oh, I'm voting for a black president. Look at me. I'm so cool. Where are they today? What, are they embarrassed to be associated with him?
I'm wondering the same thing. I feel like we're either going to have a landslide victory for Romney, or I'm kind of feeling that if we don't and you have a lot of people showing up, it's going to be because he is black.
Well, but gut feeling, in your neighborhood, do you see any Romney Ryan lawn signs?
Not one.
Do you see Obama lawn signs?
No, not one. I don't see any signs out in my neighborhood at all.
Where do you live? Near a mortuary or what?
I think the Republicans are hiding if they're out here, and I'm Republican.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. Many of these neighborhoods have what we call Murano Republicans living in them. And the Murano Republicans act liberal during the day and act liberal at cocktail parties with their neighbors. But when they go into the privacy of a voting booth, they vote for the fiscal conservative because they know what's at stake. Thanks for the call. For those of you who don't know what a Murano is, I'll explain it to you. It's a one-minute diversion. It's something I love doing because it keeps me going. In the Middle Ages, during the 1500s, 1600s, the Christians were conducting crusades against Europeans, Middle East, and they were forcibly converting Jews in most of the countries of Europe. In Spain, there was a large Jewish community. In order to live and not die, they pretended to be Christians by day, but at night they practiced Judaism. And they were called Murano Jews. Now, I've taken that phrase and apply it to those in the suburbs in particular who act like they're liberals in order to get along with the loudmouth liberals around them. But in fact, they're actually Murano conservatives or Murano Republicans, if you want to put it that way. And that's what you see a lot. They're terrified. Why is it that the liberals are so loud, so pushy? And the Republicans, the conservatives, are afraid to say a word to them. Then what are they afraid of them? Why are they afraid of them? They live in a free country. I never understood that part of it. An example to me would be that loudmouth from Florida with the double name, the hyphenated name. She gets me crazy altogether. Where did this gutter rat come from? Where did that gutter rat from Florida come from that everyone's afraid of her? She ratted out a mayor. She ratted out a Democrat who told her to shut up and get away from the polls. What's her name? The hyphenated girl from Florida. That Brooklynite with the big mouth. On the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, the 10 most high-maintenance dog breeds, and there it is, a poodle, my luck. Dogs that need a lot of attention. Poodle, number one. I wouldn't have it any other way. What's the good of having a dog unless they get your attention? 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855. There's an awful lot of amazing stories out there other than this. Bloomberg endorsed Obama because of climate change. For president, Mitt Romney says Nevada's biggest paper, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And it's an interesting editorial. It's on MichaelSavage.com, and I'll read you three paragraphs from it that are worth your time. I'll make it simple. And here it is. In a second Obama term, they write, the national debt would soar past $20 trillion. $20 trillion. And Obama has no plan to address the crushing future costs of Medicare and Social Security. Mr. Mr. Romney, however, is a Republican who was elected governor of heavily Democratic Massachusetts. He had to work with Democrats to get things done. His leadership and ability to bring people together saved the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics. As a businessman, his management skills turned failing companies into profitable ones. Mr. Romney vows to do that again in Washington, they write. Finally, they conclude, the choice is clear. Only Mitt Romney has the principles and experience needed to put America back on the road to prosperity. The Review Journal endorses Mitt Romney for president of the United States. Now, mind you, this is in Harry Reid's backyard. Harry Reid's backyard, and they're not afraid of him. They endorsed Mitt Romney. Very interesting, isn't it? Let's go to Boca Raton, Rat's Mouth, Florida. FTL Jill, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, if you came to South Florida, you would see that there's way more Obama signs all over the place than Romney signs. And I don't know what the heck you're talking about, San Francisco being more Romney-oriented. If you came here, you would see that Obama's definitely going to win.
Wait, you just said in your area there are more Obama signs. But I'm telling you, in my area, I'm seeing more Romney signs in liberal Marin County. What do you mean you don't know what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I see.
Well, you always say that Boca Raton is one of the most liberal cities. And actually, right now, it's...
It is. It is a very liberal city. Of course, Florida is very liberal. You're talking Boca Raton. When you say Boca Raton, you may as well say Brooklyn, Queens.
Well, if what you're saying
it's
is
Brooklyn,
true
Queens,
about
South.
San Francisco.
Boca Raton is Brooklyn, Queens, South. These are lifetime liberal Democrats, and they haven't changed their stripes just because they're there. And think of the beauty of it. They get to vote in two places. They get to vote in Boca Raton and Queens. Now, what could be better than that?
Well,
I mean, if you're living on your deceased husband's Social Security and you're double-dipping the system, who else would you vote for but Obama?
Well, we have to cheat the system because if Romney gets in there, he's going to ruin the country.
How will Romney ruin the country, Jill?
Okay, where do you want me to start? You want me to start
I don't know. Start anywhere. Show a scintilla of rationality. Tell me one thing Romney will do that will ruin the country.
He's going to put us more into debt.
You have the exact opposite. You don't know what you're talking about. It's Obama who's spending us into eternity. Don't you understand that? Romney will curtail government spending. What do you mean put us into more debt?
He inherited Bush's mistakes, okay? You know that.
Jill, stop for a minute. He inherited a $1 trillion debt. It's now what? What is it now?
Yeah, what if he didn't spend that?
Now, stop for a minute, Jill. Stop. What was the debt when Obama became president?
I don't know. You're the expert. Why don't you tell me?
I just told you it was $1 trillion. What is the debt today?
You tell me. I don't know.
Well, so what are you pretending that you know what you're talking about when you know nothing?
I know that Obama's a great man.
It is $5 trillion now. And it will be $20 trillion if Obama wins. So you have it exactly backwards. What it is you're prejudiced. Your mind is made up. You're prejudiced. You're a typical liberal who wants to vote for a Democrat, and you're twisting reality. Now, why don't we talk about Libyagate? How come you are supporting your president when he refused to save the ambassador and the people around them? Doesn't that embarrass you?
Actually, it wasn't his fault, okay?
Whose fault was it, Romney's?
I don't know. It was a conservative's fault, that's for sure, because conservatives are the reason for all the problems we have in our country.
Oh, Jill, now you're just pulling my leg. Now you're just pulling my leg. You're a lifetime liar, and you know it. You don't believe a word you just said. Who is the commander-in-chief, Romney or Obama?
Obama is, but he inherited all these problems, and now he's trying to get us out.
Wait a minute. Are you crazy? He inherited the Arab Spring? He created it, Jill. Jill, what happened? What, is your husband not there giving you the cue cards?
I never got
Jill. Jill, where are you? Where did you go, Jill? See, this is an example of a motor mouth from Boca Raton, doesn't know anything, but filled with herself, walks around saying that Romney caused the death of the ambassador, Romney's going to run up the debt. She doesn't know one word of reality, and she has the right to vote. I believe that there should be an IQ test, by the way. I've said this for years. There should be a minimal IQ that you have to prove that you have in order to vote, and I would say that Jill would flunk it. I would say with 3 days supply of fish oils in a blood serum, she wouldn't clear an 80. She wouldn't make an 80 on the IQ test. I think there should be a minimum IQ, the ability to answer 15 to 20 questions and add up, let's say, 6 columns, 2 figures deep in order to vote in the country. Otherwise, what you wind up with is millions of Jills who don't know what they're talking about. I'm glad you're able to hear the naked mind of the naked, stupid voter. If she gave me rational reasons, I wouldn't be saying these things. I'm not doing it for effect. But she insults not my intelligence. She insults my listeners' intelligence. And I am the gatekeeper to reality, and I apologize for letting her on the program. So let's go to some intelligent callers on the program now. I'm not upset. The world's filled with these idiots. 855, you know the number, don't you? 400-7282. The Savage Nation. San Francisco, Rooney, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Doctor. Of course you would not be surprised that your phone board is filled before your number is given out, because when you give it upon the night of your first return, it travels throughout the fruited plain and is emblazed in the memory of your loyal listeners and your loyal callers.
That's so nice. Well, were you eating some kind of fruit checks tonight or what?
Tell you that you're all wet on this possibility of Romney winning. Romney has
no
chance.
Once you gave me the build-up, I knew what was coming. So let's get to the point. What are you saying I'm wrong about?
Well, you're not wrong. You're simply mistaken. This is not your father's or your uncle's or your grandfather's election. You're looking at indicators that have nothing to do with the way they're pulling off this massive election fraud. And I didn't call it vote fraud because it has to do with more than votes. It has to do with the broad, multifaceted category of election fraud. They're stealing this thing in ways that you can't even imagine. Even you, Dr. Savage.
What do you mean? I can't imagine? You mean let's count the ways they could steal the election. Let's start with the at least 1.3 million Hispanics who were granted amnesty, illegally, by the way, so they could vote without any ID. Let's talk about them fighting voter ID laws to make sure that illegal aliens and others who are not entitled to vote will vote several times. Let's talk about the fact that six states have their votes counted by a socialist company in Spain. Are those enough for you? You think I'm not aware of that? I wrote books about it.
Let's go on. Let's talk about the other technology. Let's talk about the lead story this morning in the news from North Carolina, where a lady insisted that her ballot be counted. She made
correct.
It out.
I had it on my show last week. They pressed Romney and it came up Obama. I'm aware of that. So you fear that the election's going to be stolen by the Chicago gang?
I know that it will be, and I am despondent about it, but there is no doubt in my mind. There was a fellow who made the headline news.
Right, well, no, that's sufficient. Hey, Rooney, I'm not negating that. So let's put it another way. If they don't steal the election and it was fair, Romney would win by a landslide. Does that work for you? Here's an email I just got from a long-term silent listener. Savage, you're awesome. It's great to hear you so close to the election. You sound great, liberated. You'll be bigger and more important than ever. Congratulations on your new show, A New Beginning. You will soon be on 500 stations. The nation awaits. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Calm Defoe.
You'll never know.
Savage Nation playing old rock and roll because I can. Always loved Eddie, my love. Beautiful song. So we're talking about who's going to win. I mean, everyone has their opinion. I gave you a little, little gestalt of what I'm seeing here in liberal San Francisco, Marin County. I see no Obama bumper stickers. I listened to a homeless man walking around with a boombox listening to KSFO. A liberal relative, a voter for Obama, said no one she knows is going to vote for him again because he's a faker and did nothing. So if it was an election that was held today and it was fair, I believe Romney would win by a landslide. Here's an email I just got from a relative who's right now in Boca Raton, and here's what she said. She said, your Boca caller was lying. I only see Romney Ryan signs, no Obama signs, not one. I've not seen one in Boca or Del Rey. I was in both towns today. You hear? And I'm getting calls like that from the area as well. So, I don't know what that woman was thinking. Here's another one from the area. FT. And Florida, by the way, is a very important state because it's in play. California's not in play. It is a one-party, corrupt system. It may as well be Venezuela or Argentina. It's in debt. It's being dug into deeper debt. It's corrupt. There's no oversight. Nothing. It's a corrupt third-world state, California. Florida is a state that could go to Romney, even though it's a highly Democrat state. It's a very interesting state right now. Scott on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, what do you see out there?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a 25-year-old graduate student down here. Just moved down to Fort Lauderdale. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people. I try to make small talk with people down here. And that earlier caller, Jill lady, I mean, I am kind of worried a little bit down here in this area. I think it's pretty liberal, the Miami area. I mean, and the problem is that there's so many of those people that are so uninformed on what is really going on that it's just scary. You just ask them simple questions, and they just they got.
Can you imagine they're blaming Libya on Romney?
Absolutely ridiculous.
And she says Romney will bankrupt the country when Obama has taken $1 trillion debt and turned it into $5 or $6 trillion. It's astounding to me how Obama's propaganda has worked on these brain dead people. That's why I say there should be some minimal standards for voting. Do you see any lawn signs for Obama out there?
You know, I don't see that many. I don't see that many.
Right.
But, you know,
see,
when
that's my point. You'd expect to see a lot more. That's all. Let's not make that the whole issue. It's just one observation. That's all, one observation. When the lights go down in the city, it's Michael Savage. Right here, the lights have gone down. It's so beautiful. It's unbelievable. I'm so glad to be back. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282 from anywhere in America.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here he is, Michael Savage. What a beautiful thing it is to be alive in interesting times. Welcome to The Savage Nation. The phone number you know already. You can't get through already. The website, you can always get through to michaelsavage.com. You could sign up for a free newsletter. And whatever, we're talking about. Do you think Romney will win by a landslide? Because, look, many of us sense by what we're seeing and hearing that even diehard liberals who are reasonably intelligent have turned on him. I'll give you another example. I told you the story of the young lady who was an Obama voter who I never discussed politics with, who spontaneously said she's not voting for him because he's done nothing, and they're going to go with Romney, okay? I forgot to tell you about another Democrat I know. Major league donor, big Hollywood donor. Supported Obama. He's a Romney supporter now. He won't give Obama a dime. For him, it's over Israel. For him, it's over Israel. And for national security reasons. She said, well, these are only two people. Okay, I don't know. We'll see Tuesday at the end of the day what happens. We do know the Democrats are known for vote fraud. We do know they're famous for stealing elections, stuffing ballot boxes, rigging elections. We understand all of that. And we don't know whether the Republican machine is strong enough to defend themselves against the thugs, the thuggery of the Democrats. We don't know. But I got to tell you, I'm an intuitive talk show host. Although I have a higher degrees, and I won't bore you with the details, and I've done statistics and epidemiology, and I can read data as good as anybody else, I still say that the secret ballot is the place, it's a secret place for many reasons, but you don't know what people are going to do in there. They may look like a Democrat. They may talk like a Democrat. They may walk like a Democrat by day. But when they pull that curtain, they may have a whole different viewpoint. You don't even know what they're going to do in there. And I ask myself what people are going to do. I really don't know. I don't know. So here we are. 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 400-7282, 855-400-7282. I'm so glad to be back on the radio. I got to tell you, I always love early evening. I don't even like working during the day, generally. It doesn't mean I couldn't. I was asked to do morning drive years ago. I said, I can't do it. It would turn my world upside down. So I was always an afternoon drive, early evening. Now I'm in a later time slot. I actually like it better because I like dark. I like evenings. The sun offends me just by its nature. I don't like it. It stares at me in a cartoonish way. It tells me I have to run. I have to go and take Pilates lessons. I should be doing something active. Once it gets darker already, I feel left alone. The sun is not bothering me. Let it bother the other half of the globe. It's like a night show. I enjoy it. I enjoy it here. And if I can enjoy myself doing radio, I'll do it for a very long time. I'll live long. And that's the truth of the matter is, I will live longer the more I enjoy myself. There's no question about it. Enjoyment is the key to longevity in many ways. Forget about fats and all of that. There's only a certain degree that food has an influence over your health. You know what a cardiologist told me? That I'm going to do the don't worry, I'll do the show in a minute. I'm just warming myself up, not you. A cardiologist I go to out of neurosis, not because I have any cardiac problems anymore. I thought I did. I might have. I could have. I had high blood pressure, low nothing. Zero so far. Tomorrow I could collapse. Who knows? But the thing is, he's a great guy. He says to me, a patient, a 90-year-old patient, gave him one day a one-liner, which he passed on to me, never let an old person live in your body. I try to remember that. I know a lot of guys who at 40 started holding, oh, my back. They looked stooped. Guys I grew up with, I would see them in a supermarket. From the front, they looked vigorous when they would walk towards you. But if they didn't know you, were looking at them and they were walking, they were like stooped. At 45, 50 already, they were like bent over like a tree. And that's because they let an old person live in their body. They start complaining, oh, I got a pain here. Don't let an old person live in your body. And that's why I love radio. I don't let an old person talk on the radio in plain English. I'm at least 30 years younger on the radio. Do you know that? 30 years of age reversal every time I get in front of the microphone. So here we are having a great time. Whoever wins, wins. We'll live with it one way or the other. Let's pray to God that we get a businessman in the White House instead of a possibility. The future of a republic may be hanging in the balance, but I only got one vote. But, you know, unlike the liars in the media, I'm not telling you that I'm in the middle of the road. That I don't care. I do care who wins. Why? Because I work very hard for a living and plan. Let me give you the reason why I care. I'll give you my reasons. You want to hear my reasons? One man's opinion? Are you interested? They're really simple. National security. I have no sense of national security under this administration. They look like a bunch of academic left-wing pacifists, and they are catering to the Islamists at every turn. And all they've gotten is burning and looting and death in the Middle East. That's number one. God only knows how many Islamists are working in our intelligence agencies right now because of this supine administration. So one, national security. Two, taxes. I pay enough. I pay quite enough, thank you. I don't want to pay anymore for food stamps and bums and illegal aliens running all over the country. I had enough of this. I don't want to pay anymore. I work too hard. And if you keep taxing men like me, what we do is we stop working. And you take a younger man like me who's making a lot of money and building a business, you know what he does? He doesn't build that business. He says, the heck with it, I'm not going to take the chances anymore. Why should I? What, I give it to the bums in Washington to steal from me? That's what happens. And if you take it to its extreme, as occurred in the ex-Soviet Union, the farmer starts shooting the cow because he says it's not worth raising the calf anymore. It's too expensive. I'd rather eat it. The state's only going to take the cow from me, so I'll shoot the calf. And what happened was you had 30 million Russians died of starvation because of Stalin socialism. But, you know, you don't learn that in school. So I'm giving you some of the reasons. Let's go to the callers. Huntsville, Alabama, Larry on WVNN. Thanks for calling the program. What's on your mind, Larry?
Yes, I'm a Democrat from Huntsville, Alabama, and I was just calling because the first time I'm going to be voting Republican because I'm just, like you, afraid of Mr. Obama, and very disappointed with what happened in Benghazi and in Libya, and the fact that he went to New York and couldn't meet with the president of Israel. You know, and the thing is so sad. So many of my friends are not informed. They could care less. They just like the fact that he, you know.
Well, you see, Larry, you're a thoughtful man who's actually trying to make up your mind based upon the facts rather than upon party affiliation. So you said you're changing parties, and you're African American?
Yes, African American.
Oh, so you haven't told your friends though, have you?
No, I can't even talk about it.
No, you can't, and you'll lose your friends and family. You got to be very careful.
Very.
So look, Larry, this is what I'm getting at. You can't be alone in your feelings. In other words, there must be millions of people who are saying, you know what, I'm not going to say anything, but when I get in there, I'm going to vote with what I think with my conscience. But here you are. Look what you just said, the reasons. You brought up Benghazi. You heard about it. And you know it's the greatest scandal since Watergate. And you're embarrassed for the country that they're hiding it, the media hides it. But what other reasons are having you go to the Romney side?
Well, I like the fact that he's a businessman. You know, the fact that he has money doesn't bother me. I'm glad. I like the fact that he's actually built
Thank you.
A business.
That's how I swear to God, I said the same thing when I was a young teacher in New York. I remember thinking I didn't have very much at all. And there was a mayor who was rich. And I said, you know what? I like that a rich man is in office. And people said, are you crazy? Why? I said, because rich people generally won't steal any money. They already have it. It's the poor guys who steal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. By the way, if you look around California, the worst scoundrels generally are the poorer ones. They're always grifting off money, putting relatives into positions and sending, you know, false checks, this and that. But there must be another reason, Larry, that you're bolting from Obama. What is the real reason? What's the real... Do you have a sense that Obama's a fraud?
Yeah, I hate to go as far as a fraud, but I tell you, I like the fact that Romney's been in business, that he's been a governor. So he's had to make some tough decisions. He's had to balance a budget. He's actually done some things. And although Obama is charismatic, he's smart, he's articulate, but he just, the issues we're dealing with now with the economy and with...
Larry, what do you do for a living? I'm just very curious now. What do you do for a living, Larry?
I actually work in a plant, and I'm a plant worker, but I'm fascinated by the news. And so, you know,
Hold on now. You're a factory worker at a low wage?
Yeah, about middle wage.
But wait a minute, and you are not voting Democrat. That's astounding.
No, I can't. I just can't within my conscience. I think when he went to New York and didn't meet with the president of Israel, it was a crossing point.
Why are you, as an African American, concerned about Israel? Are you an evangelical Christian?
Well, I am, but I don't know. It's just been too many.
Well, no,
things.
I'm saying God bless you. God bless you if you are. I mean, God bless you if you are. You're the Jews' best friends. Only the liberal Jews don't understand that. This is something that I've been fighting for years. The liberal Jewish people in America, for some reason, have contempt for their best friends, and they have nothing but the highest regard for people who would shaft them. I've never seen anything like this. Larry,
yeah.
God bless you. Thanks for calling us. I hate to say God bless you. I'm not the Pope. I'm just saying thank you for calling. I shouldn't say God bless you. I don't like people to say God bless you on radio. They start to sound popish. Only the Pope can bless you. How can the Pope bless you anyway? Who can bless you? Whatever. It's the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE. If you care to join the conversation, talk about the election. What else is there to talk about? You realize it's the 1st of November? Do you realize we got here already? I feel like this election's been going on for at least 3 years, building up to this election. I'm perplexed because I met Romney for dinner. I'm going to say it again. November, 2 years ago, we sat in the North Beach restaurant. We ate in the corner there. Nice man. I had the photo of Romney and I up on my website for 6 months, and I took it down. We can't find it. Does anyone have that archived? Did somebody remove it from, like, if you image me on Google, say Michael Savage images, right? Michael Savage image. I don't see the picture. Somebody deleted it. To me, because I want to put it up. It could cost them the election if I put it up on my website. That's possible. I better wait till after the election. All right, I'll be right back.
Delay. Do around him his comrades come sighing. These last mournful words he did say. Wrap me up in my tarpaulin jacket and say a poor duffer's lay low. Send for six all he's even to carry me.
That's enough already, no more. Good singer. I'm not going to hear it anymore. Tarpaulin jacket. I'll start singing in a minute and kill the show altogether. It's very good for another time. Skip Henderson is a wonderful musician. Love his music, but let's do it another night. Let's do some different kind of music, different kind of callers. No more lawn sign callers. Enough already. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's go to Frankenmuth, Michigan. Suzanne on WJR. What a station that is. Thank you, Suzanne. What's on your mind?
I have to call because I'm outraged. My 16-year-old son plays varsity football. So 2 weeks ago, we're going to the football game. And they're handing out carrots with ranch dressing. And I'm what? What are these carrots all?
Wait, what is this? Who was handing out carrots?
And Michelle Obama.
Oh, Michelle, Queen of the Fries, was handing out the carrots. I see.
And it's convenient. You know, they're buying votes.
Yeah. Well, come on. If she ate carrots, it would be one thing. But she's well known to indulge in a different type of cuisine. That was also buried by the news. You know, it's not eat as I eat, but eat as I say. She ought to hand out French fries. It would be more appropriate.
I guess. I didn't take any.
So what is it that offended you? Was it the carrots or the ranch dressing?
Well, they were saying, free carrots, free carrots. And then when
it was like a stunt. In other words, it was a stunt, the carrot.
Right.
To show that they're vegetarian and, all right, what else? What else is new under the sun? Unto itself, that's not a big deal. I wouldn't say that that's a reason not to vote for Obama because they gave out carrots. But, I mean, we could stretch it to that if you want. How do you feel about New York Mayor Bloomberg endorsing Obama? How do you feel about the fact that Bloomberg says that he's endorsing Obama because of climate change? How do you feel about a mayor who says that it was climate change that brought about Hurricane Sandy when legitimate climatologists say it had nothing to do, that global warming, whatever, climate change, whatever they call it today, had nothing to do with the storm? Obama welcomed the endorsement, pledging in a statement to continue to stand with New York in his time of need. He said, well, we may not agree on every issue. Mayor Bloomberg and I agree on the most important issues of our time, that the key to a strong economy is investing. Don't you love how liberals invest your money? Investing in the skills and education of our people. Education, how to put a condom on a cucumber, not how to add three columns of three, six deep. They get out of high school, you know what they know in New York? Shall I go down the list? Mother and father bad, business bad, America terrible. You know the list. That's what they know. That's education. Investing in it, education. That immigration reform, that means 30 million more illegal aliens voting for Democrats, is essential to an open and dynamic democracy. And that climate change is a threat to our children's future. And we owe it to them to do something about it. Climate change. Went from global warming to climate change. It's frightening, the propaganda level. The propaganda level is beyond belief. It's unbelievable to me. But here we are. We have to put up with it. If you care to comment on any of my comments, you can do so. We have Jack from Palm Springs, California, calling us from KPSI. I didn't know there was a station in Palm Springs, but I'm glad to hear there is one that carries the Savage Nation. Jack, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please. Jack,
hello.
You're on the Savage. Yes, Jack, you're on the radio. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, he's going to win by a landslide. Romney's going to win by a landslide.
Why?
Because people are tired of somebody blaming somebody else. It's something that children do.
You mean Obama constantly blaming other people, pointing the finger?
One reason why.
Jack, do you actually think people see that he's a complainer and a blamer? It's not. There's no communication. I can't take it. When there's no give and take, it's a terrible call. It is the Savage Nation. How do you feel about the general being fired within 30 seconds because he was going to send a contingent to defend the ambassador in Libya, and Obama or Panetta or Hillary Clinton or Susan Rice or the mother-in-law fired him? Maybe Reverend Wright fired him.
Look at him, John.
Not Mr. Lee, it's Michael Savage. We're talking about all of the news of the day. It's news talk radio is what it comes down to. And what's a bigger news story than the election? But there is a bigger story. It depends upon where you live. I mean, if you're in lower Manhattan, there's a bigger story. If you're dumpster diving in Coney Island, it's a bigger story. If you're fighting for gasoline in Staten Island, it's a bigger story. If you are a New Yorker whose waste is overflowing in the toilet and the moronic mayor who endorsed Obama because of supposed climate change is saying, let's let the Sunday games begin. It's a bigger story when you have such an idiotic mayor, a man so out of touch with the average person. Unbelievable to me. So here we are. Republican National Committee alleges voting machine troubles in Nevada and other swing states. You're kidding me. In Harry Reid's Nevada, they're trying to rig the machines? In Nevada? They're trying to rig machines in Nevada? No. What? Gambling machines aren't rigged, are they? I mean, the slot machines have always paid off every time I've pulled the handle. Why would the voting machine be any different? Are you kidding me? Alleging a significant number of cases where voting machines cast ballots for Obama when the vote was intended for Romney. No. Shocking. Shocking to believe that. You're telling me that in Nevada they've rigged the voting machines? I can't believe that. A spokesmouth for the Nevada Secretary of State's office said a statement on the RNC claim will be issued later today. Eric Hertzik, the chairman of the so-called poli-sci department at the so-called University of Nevada, said the RNC needs to put up or shut up. Now, there's a real academic for you. Hertzik said this is not normal. This is reprehensible. I wonder how he got his job in poli-sci at this nun-university. Hertzik went on, he said they ought to have 100% proof if they've lost credibility as a party. Americans should just be outraged if they have no proof, said Hertzik. In 2010, Republican Sharon Angle alleged voter fraud after losing a bid to unseat U.S. Senate Majority Leader, the distinguished Harry Reid, Democrat in Nevada. Shocking, just shocking. A man so clean as Harry Reid in his state, there'd be voting fraud? I can't believe it. I really don't believe that. Let's take the callers, 855-400-SAVAGE, time is short. I'm only with you 3 hours a night. There's 24 hours in a day. We have so much to cover, so little time. It's November 1st. And if you've just joined the show, I'm sorry to tell you, you missed the best thus far. Let me cap it for you. I began by asking the question, do you think Romney will win and why? What have you seen that makes you think Romney will win? I gave you three examples. I see no Romney bumper stickers in the liberal Marin County. I saw and heard a homeless man listening to the conservative KSFO radio station, which I was shocked. A liberal relative who voted for Obama said she will not vote for him because he's done nothing. So you say, well, all right, that's not indicative. No, it may not be. No, it may not be. But it was an interesting question. But the fact of the matter is, even the Nevada newspaper has come out for Romney. Investors Business Daily, people who are in business, said that there's a Category 5 media bias on display in wake of Sandy, right? They're all attacking Mitt Romney rather than attacking Obama over Libya. The little men, the Lilliputians, the Solenterites, I call them. A Solenterite, if I remember my Zoology 101, is an animal without a backbone. That would be your good-looking scribes in the news business. The men who look good but are empty suitcases. Broken empty suitcases inside. Ask their ex-wives. The good-looking women in the media who are inside hysterical drug addicts. They're the ones who are writing headlines such as Mitt Romney refuses to talk about FEMA after Hurricane Sandy event rather than talking about Libya Gate or Benghazi Gate. For example, a TV pool reporter asked Romney at least five times whether he would eliminate FEMA as president after the storm. They asked not one question of Obama with regard to when did he decide not to send help to Libya. Okay? So, let's take some callers. Callers are good. Callers are great. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm feeling a better connection with my audience each day. You know, this is hardwired. It's like radio shows interesting. It's like I'm rewiring my show. It's like new stations, new callers. I'm trying to rewire my feeling with you. One of the things I am known for is my ability to feel my callers and field my callers. And it's been a little hard sometimes to feel you because it's new. It's a different situation. Bigger stations, bigger, stronger stations, better stations, growing by leaps and bounds, slowed down by the storm. The power is still out in Manhattan in many places. So let's go to the callers. That's all. It's real simple. Who do you want me to take? WJR in Detroit. Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening.
Mike, yeah, I wanted to bring up 3 points on why I felt like Obama would lose. One, yes, because of his stance on gay marriage when he came out. I feel like that's what is going to cost him. Two, his handling of Libya. And three, a turning point was the debate, the first debate between he and Romney.
That's very interesting. Now, as far as those points go, though, do you think the generality of voters care about those issues?
Well, I do feel like the entire South cares about gay marriage, especially, I would say, black Southerners. I feel like that would strike them, because any blacks that I know...
You want to hear something interesting on the gay... you know, this is an interesting topic, and you, it's coming back to what I thought of earlier. How will African Americans vote once they're alone inside a booth and they don't have to answer to anybody? And they'll vote with their conscience, obviously. You know, gay marriage was on the ballot here in California a few years ago. It lost overwhelmingly, and amongst the African-American community, it lost by 8-2. 80% of the African-American vote went against gay marriage. 90% of the Asian vote went against it. A large percentage of the Hispanic vote went against it. Do you know that?
Yes, I'm very well aware. Yes, my wife is Asian.
Yes, and this is something that the wonderful Solenterits, the animals without backbones in the media, will not tell you. That's a very big issue that no one's talking about. But aside from the issue of sexuality, you're saying how he showed himself to be what he was in the first debate. That's number two. And what was the third reason?
His handling of Libya, the incompetence in Libya.
But why is it that the average person doesn't even know that he told the military to stand down and let those men die? And then they fire General Hamm within 30 seconds. I mean, this is a big story. General Hamm lost his job over Libya. General Hamm was fired within 30 seconds of saying, I'm not going to listen to that the defense secretary who said, stand down, I'm sending in a force. Within 30 seconds, he was replaced with a useless general by the name of David Rodriguez, who took his position and succeeded General Carter Hamm as commander of U.S. Africa Command. Are you aware? You're probably aware of that, right?
Well, I'm aware of that from listening to you. But I think the average American would say, oh, I had ham for lunch or for dinner. They're not going to know anything about it unless they pay attention.
Nothing. I agree. They had liverwurst for lunch rather than Libya for dinner.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. The media, the Solenterites, have kept this out of the news as best they can. It has filtered up thanks primarily to Fox News and a few of the reporters at Fox News and some talk radio. But you and I both know it's getting no play from the illegitimate in the media.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad you're listening to me live on WJR, one of the greatest stations in the country. Let's go to Reno, Nevada. Chris on KKOH, thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a communique from the Naval Air Station in San Diego. My fiancé flies for the Navy. And it was passed around on Monday of the 28th. That not only did Carter Hamm lose his job, but Rear Admiral Charles Goett.
He was fired off. Wasn't he fired off the Stennis?
Yes, off the Stennis. And I have not heard that anywhere.
Well, I mentioned it the other day because I was on the Stennis as a visitor a few years ago. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I don't know if I met him. I met the then commanding general. But he was fired apparently because he wanted to launch a defensive force as well, right, to defend the men down there in Libya?
He was fired, he was relieved late last week for inappropriate leadership judgment that was
In other unrelated. Words, he didn't listen to the communists in the White House who said stand down? Is that inappropriate leadership?
Listen, that he told him to go have sex with himself.
Well, Chris, this is an interesting question. Let me explain something that from my point of view. First of all, there's nothing new under the sun. One of my favorite movies is Paths of Glory, and I don't want to bore you with a movie. Goes back to World War I, let's go back to Roman times. The military is a very structured organization, and there is a chain of command. It comes from the top down. Generals have almost no capacity to make decisions on their own. You know that as I know that, and neither do admirals. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay. And if you do break rank and don't listen to your commander above you, you usually are busted in rank. That's an absolute truth. So from the perspective of them not listening to the commander-in-chief, he had the right to fire this admiral and this general. But that now goes to the fundamental question. Therefore, it was Obama who decided to stand down and let the ambassador and the others die. And so the fault lies with him, not with the admiral who was fired, nor with the general who was fired. It was Obama's decision to make, and he made it. And the only reason he's gotten away with it is because of the Solenterites in the media, Chris.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so, in other words, you have to have a structure in a military organization, or else people would be running off and doing whatever they wanted any time. Now, there are exceptions. The soldier who risks his life, who was not commanded to do it. The commander who takes the initiative against the enemy without waiting for orders from above because he realizes lives are at stake, as happened in Libya. These are generally rewarded. These acts are generally rewarded by a legitimate commander-in-chief. But as you well know, I have nothing but contempt for the tyrant in the White House. I wrote a book about it. I wrote an entire huge chapter with references and trickle-down tyranny. I didn't just make it up out of whole cloth. He is the most anti-military president in American history. He has decimated the military. He has demoralized the military. How any military wife could ever vote for this man is beyond me. I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. So I want to read you something. In Trickle-Down Tyranny, I wrote a chapter about tyranny of the Egghead Wars. If you think Libya is a one-off event, you're mistaken. This is not the first time this man has shown himself to be a totally incompetent leader of the military. Let's hope it's the last time. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I go all the way back to the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi. They assassinated him. It got me sick. Gaddafi was a bad man. But I thought he's a liberal, that they bring people to justice. They bend over backwards for rapists, child rapists, murderers. And they killed him. Gaddafi was begging for his life. And Hillary joked. She scares me to my core. We came, we saw, he died. You remember that? Now, you don't know why they killed Gaddafi. You have no idea why they killed Gaddafi. Do you know what Ambassador Stevens was in charge of doing in Libya at the time of his death? Do you know that he was not really an ambassador? The sense of an ambassador with formal meetings and dinners. Ambassador Stevens, according to my reading, was in charge of transferring the massive weapons stores that was the weapons that were in Libya under Gaddafi to the Al-Qaeda rebels, so-called, in Syria. Secretly sending those weapons to Syria on a Turkish ship. He was transferring them. He was going to send them to the so-called rebels in Syria, who are rife, just filled with Al-Qaeda members. Why are we supporting them now? What is this administration? Do they actually know what they're doing? Moreover, why has there been no investigation of the incident where in August of 2011, Obama or one of his staff sent more than 20 Navy SEALs to their deaths in Afghanistan on a slow-moving Chinook helicopter? I will not let this go. I have a whole novel I wrote about it coming out in the spring called A Time for War. My book opens with that chapter about that helicopter going down. I put my imagination into it. As Commander-in-Chief, Obama was responsible for the deaths of those Navy SEALs when they were sent to their death because they were put on a slow Chinook helicopter in order to transport them to a battle site. This was the single largest loss of SEALs in the history of this elite corps. Now, some in the military have been whispering for a year now that this was an assassination of these fighting men. To date, no investigation, no blame, no culpability. Now, some would say, what does this have to do with the president? Let me be clear. I wouldn't say that he had a direct hand in this, although some would say that as commander-in-chief, he had direct responsibility. But let's ask, why has there been no investigation? Who authorized the mission? Was it a general who issued the order? Was it a girl from Harvard University who was put into the White House like an agent of the KGB who said, go ahead, use that helicopter? As I've explained to you in my books, The president relies on three Ivy League educated women to tell him how to run the military. Maybe they decided that it should be done to save fuel and promote green energy. The important thing is that Obama is commander-in-chief and he has not authorized an investigation, nor has he shown the correct moral outrage over the death of so many members of this elite fighting unit. This is one of the greatest travesties of his entire regime, I wrote. I have much more to say about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. Go read it in the bookstore. I'm not asking you to buy the book. It is another example how the most subversive president in American history has been getting away with virtual, well, let's say the decimation of the military. How does he stay in office when he is clearly determined to weaken us in the area of national security? How does he get away with running up the debt and blaming it on Romney? You heard a caller earlier, Jill, who said Romney will destroy the country by running up the debt. I said to her, wait a minute, Obama inherited a $1 trillion debt from Bush, that is true, and he's made it a $5 or $6 trillion debt. She said, no, Romney did it. No, the Republicans did it. I said, well, what about Libya, I said to this woman from Boca Raton. She said, it's the conservatives who caused the deaths in Libya. So when you're dealing with people who have no capacity for reason or logic, we have a very serious problem in the country. Because any reasonable person would understand that as a commander-in-chief, he should have said the buck stops here. I don't know who did this. I'm going to find out and they'll be punished. Instead, he swept it under the rug because the solenterates in the media are not holding his feet to the fire. And that's the problem. And thank God I am still able to do so. And that's why I say vote for Romney. It's that simple. Vote for Romney, vote for Romney, vote for Romney, vote for Romney. Vote for Romney, vote for Romney, vote for Romney, vote for Romney. Omni Romney, Omni Romney, Romney Romney, Romney Romney. I'm a Romney, I'm a Romney, I'm a Romney. I'm not even a Republican. I'm an independent since I've been voting. I don't think I never registered as a Republican. As I said to you, I don't know how to put this. I don't even like Republicans. I went to a party. I'd rather go to a party with liberals. They're more fun. They laugh more. They're not rigid. They're not uptight. They dance better. They dress better. Republicans, I don't like Republicans as people. But I like the policies of fiscal conservatism and national security. And for that reason, I will vote for Romney. That doesn't mean I party with them. I party with nobody. I party with poodles. That's the extent of my social life. Partying with pasta and partying with poodles. Did I tell you my dream? Oh, my God, I have 45 seconds. I usually tell my dreams on the air, dreams from my brainstem. And it was about borders, language, and culture. And finally, I figured out how to explain to you what I meant by culture. And what it was so simple. It was amazingly simple and clear. But I've forgotten it. My dream has escaped me. I should have written it down when I woke up in the morning. What do I mean by borders? That you understand. What do I mean by language? You know what I mean by that? English only. What do I mean by culture? How about individual rights and individual freedom? Does that work for you? That is ensconced in our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. Obama stands for the opposite. He stands for state rights, period. Big state, big government. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be absolutely nowhere.
Have arrived in New York City, loaded with bottled water and ready-to-eat meals for the hardest-hit neighborhoods after Hurricane Sandy. Mike Abruzzo lost his entire house in New York's Staten Island. He and his wife and two daughters have been staying with relatives.
My youngest daughter yesterday, Faith, said, Daddy, I want to go home. I told her this is going to be a while, hon. She don't understand. She's six.
Con Edison says it's on track to restore power by Saturday in Manhattan, where 250,000 homes and businesses are without it, mostly downtown, which includes the Financial District, Chinatown, and Little Italy, where people are wandering the streets looking for food, power, and a hot shower. New Jersey officials say they will deploy military trucks to serve as polling places on Election Day in storm-battered communities. Governor Chris Christie.
If they don't have power, where the regular polling place would be, there'll be a truck, and they can vote by paper ballot.
Consumer confidence surged last month to its highest level in nearly 5 years, says the Conference Board, which does those surveys. And it looks like Americans responded by spending more money on new cars and trucks and at retail businesses and on goods produced at U.S. factories. As a result of all this news, your investments may look a little bit bigger as Wall Street responded with rallies. On the jobs picture, economist Joel Naroff.
They may not see lots of openings available, but the fact that they're no longer worried about losing their jobs is really adding to confidence. And as a result of that, they're beginning to spend. They're beginning to really move this economy into the next stage.
The Dow gained 136 points, the Nasdaq up 43, saying he is not guilty of the cover-up charges that he faces in the Jerry Sandusky molestation scandal. Former Penn State President Graham Spanier, his lawyers issued a statement responding to charges of perjury, obstruction, and child endangerment. Several other people have also been charged in the case. This is ABC News.
Mike Rowe here at a Ford dealer with a little Q&A for Fiona. Fiona, according to the signs, Ford is having some sort of a big tire event. I just want to confirm a few things. How would you describe the event?
It's big.
The savings one might enjoy at the event?
They're big.
Okay. What about the selection? Put that in your own words for me.
Big.
I see.
In terms of rebates, how would you really sum the whole...
They're big, Mike. Big.
Sensing a pattern.
Right now, buy four Goodyear, Dunlop, Continental Tire, Hankook, or Pirelli tires for a $60 mail-in rebate. And for even bigger savings, Ford dealers will beat any advertised price on the name brand tires they carry, guaranteed.
So I think we can agree then that Ford's tire event is good sized.
No, Michael. It's big.
That's a great answer. I had no idea you were going to go there.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Rebate by check. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined. See participating California Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/12.
Good evening. I'm Dave Fowler, Sontag 560 KSFO. The investigation continues into the fatal shooting of a well-liked owner of a cell phone store in East Oakland last night. Robbery is the expected motive. Investigators say it appears that 50-year-old Wilbur Bartley was in the process of closing his business, the Marcus Cellular on International Boulevard, when he was confronted by one or two gunmen. Bartley was shot during the confrontation and was pronounced dead at the scene. A man is in custody on suspicion of murder and the death of a woman whose body was found in a Pleasanton trash can. Police arrested Javier Prado Sandoval at his Stockton home yesterday. Anna Flores Pineda's body was discovered badly decomposed in May. She was not identified for months. The cause of death is still to be determined. A group of local investors are buying several Sonoma County newspapers from their Florida-based owners. Sonoma Media is buying the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, the Petaluma Argus Courier, and the North Bay Business Journal from Halifax Media. Halifax bought the group in January from the New York Times Company. Halifax says the sale to Sonoma Media makes geographic sense. KSFO traffic, southbound 280 Monterey Boulevard, have a stalled bus. The right lane is blocked, and a upper deck of the Bay Bridge, right in the S-curve. Looks like a stalled car there in the right lane. At least it's a slow-rolling vehicle. CHP and bridge crews on the way to the scene. Eastbound 80 at Alamo Drive, stalled car in Vacaville. That has the left lane partially blocked. Weather forecast tonight, low clouds and fog. Lows will be in the upper 40s to the mid-50s. Tomorrow, once the fog clears up, we'll have mostly sunny conditions. Highs low 60s to the low 70s. Then it's going to warm up into the weekend. Sunny and highs mid-60s to mid-70s for Saturday. A little warmer on Sunday, and then by Monday we might even see low 80s inland as the warming trend completes itself. I'm Dave Fowler, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You are listening to the sound of the heartbeat of an unborn baby just 28 days after conception. Every day, more than 3,000 abortions are performed in this country, and each abortion stops the heartbeat of a living unborn baby. Every year, more than 1.2 million heartbeats are stopped and more than 1.2 million lives cut short because of abortion. Abortion isn't rare or safe, only legal. Legalized abortion on demand has taken the lives of more than 55 million unborn children and left their mothers wounded and vulnerable to physical, mental, and emotional injury. At National Right to Life, we are working to break this cycle. We are working for the day when both mother and child will be welcomed, loved, and protected. Join us today and help us make a difference so that an unborn baby's heart can keep beating. For more information, visit our website, nrlc.org.
Mark Levin and Michael Savage, back to back, weekdays beginning at 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well.
As someone who values the role of people of all faiths in American life, I'm always touched by the amazing stories of love, service, and compassion that take place in this country every single day. They reinforce the power of my Christian faith, which has guided me through my presidency and in my life, as a husband, as a father, and as president.
You look great. The whole
I feel good.
How much do you weigh?
You know, about 180.
That's just about where I am, and I don't look so good at 180.
You know, you look sharp.
You haven't seen me naked.
We're going to keep it that way.
As the president said, the president has to be the president of all the people. This unfortunately demonstrated the demeaning attitude that Governor Obama has toward a large segment of the American people.
You have a man lying through his teeth. You have a deranged Pelosi who calls Romney Governor Obama. Then you have a lapdog press. That is incomprehensible that we're living through all of this, and yet we are. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The Today Show is focused upon the media meltdown. And the question to you is, I'm going to read you some topics. I'm going to give you some examples of what the worthless media is distorting and what the worthless media is ignoring. And then I'm going to invite you to call this creative show, the Savage Nation, with topics that are burning alive inside your heart. For expression in your local paper or expression on your television shows that you used to rely upon. Let me begin with an article, so well written, a couple of sentences. One of my favorite writers, Charles Hurt, Washington Times, listen to this paragraph. What we are in the midst of witnessing right now is a complete Fukushima-style meltdown of the mainstream media. Without these slobbering lapdogs, Letterman, President Obama never would have been elected in the first place. And now they are his only hope for staying in office amid all the global violence, a morbidly paralyzed economy, and a national crisis of confidence so profound that the American dream has become nothing more than quaint fiction for millions. Now let's go on to the newspapers that have some respect. Respected newspapers around the world are reporting that the Obama administration was explicitly warned days before the attack on the American consulate in Libya, in which your ambassador was brutally killed. But Obama officials, the dolts that they be, the university dolts that they are, did nothing to stop the worst terrorist attack on the U.S. since 9/11. Now I want to cut to the Letterman show, another useless idiot, a man who's made a mockery of the word comedian. Listen to clip 20 and listen to the president lying.
The ambassador to Libya killed in an attack on the consulate in Benghazi.
Right.
Is this an act of war? Are we at war now?
No.
What happens here?
Well, here's what happened. You had a video that was released by somebody who lives here, sort of a shadowy character, who is an extremely offensive video directed at the at Muhammad and Islam.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Now, I want you to stop right there. The president says Muhammad, and the lapdog, the loser, the man who has no soul, the man who has no character, the man who has no body, the empty suit, the empty shell, Letterman, actually corrects the president because he works for the worst network in history, owned by General Electric, which pays no taxes. And Letterman says, after the president rightly says Muhammad, Letterman actually corrects him and says, the prophet Muhammad. I want you to see how bad this is. That as leftist as the president is, the media is even worse. 4 years after promising to cut the deficit in half, Obama has exploded the debt to a record $16 trillion. Welfare rolls ballooning to levels unimaginable. And the administration is paying for campaigns to recruit more people onto welfare. The $50 billion in defense cuts that Panetta and Obama wish to engage in, according to them themselves, they're saying will be deeply destructive to national security, domestic investments, and core government functions. There's more. There's more. And then, instead of the vermin in the media focusing on the greatest foreign policy disaster in modern American history, which is the Arab world blowing up in the face of the
academic lunatics who work for Obama who have no idea what they have wrought. They have no idea what they've created. They are denying what they've created because they only talk to each other. The other night he goes to a party with some rapper. Some rapper, I don't even know his name, who has gold champagne bottles lined up. Gold champagne bottles. Then Obama comes out with a straight face and says it's about taxing the rich. It's incomprehensible this goes on. So let's focus a little bit more on the media meltdown. What other topics is the worthless media distorting or ignoring? I'll give you one. This came to us from Forbes.com. Antarctic sea ice sets another record. Not getting smaller, Mr. Gore, getting deeper. Antarctic sea ice set another record this past week with the most amount of ice ever recorded on day 256 of the calendar year. Please, nobody tell the mainstream media or they might have to retract some stories and admit they are misrepresenting scientific data. National Public Radio published an article on its website last month claiming, quote, 10 years ago, a piece of ice the size of Rhode Island disintegrated and melted in the waters of Antarctica. Two other massive ice shelves along the Antarctic Peninsula had suffered similar fates a few years before. The events became poster children for the effects of global warming. There's no question that unusually warm air triggered the final demise of these huge chunks of ice, close quote. NPR, though, failed to mention anywhere in its article that Antarctic sea ice has been growing since satellites first began measuring the ice 33 years ago, and the sea ice has been above the 33-year average throughout 2012. Indeed, none of the mainstream media are covering this important story. A Google News search of the terms Antarctic, sea ice, and record turns up not a single article on the Antarctic sea ice record. Amusingly, page after page of Google News results for Antarctic sea ice record shows links to news articles breathlessly spreading fear and warning of calamity because Arctic sea ice recently set a 33-year low, which is a lie. Sea ice around one pole is shrinking while sea ice around another pole is growing. This sure sounds like a global warming crisis to me. And that's from James Taylor in Forbes.com. Now, the reason I'm focusing on this is because they're lying about Romney. They're selectively editing what Romney said 3 months ago, but it goes on. It gets worse. It gets even worse than what I am telling you. In Europe, Hitler is back. Anti-Semitism. Kristallnacht, as you may recall, if you know anything of history, occurred. It was known as the Night of the Broken Glass. Coordinated attacks against Jews throughout Nazi Germany and Austria on November 9th and 10th, 1938, carried out by SA paramilitary and civilians. German authorities looked the other way without intervening. The attacks left the streets covered with broken glass from the windows of Jewish-owned stores, buildings, and synagogues. That was the beginning of the Holocaust. That led to the gas chambers. That led to the extermination of 6 million Jews in the ovens. Why do I say Kristallnacht has returned to France? 4 Jews injured after a bomb thrown at a kosher store. Other recent attacks in France. July 20th, 2012. Paris. A synagogue was desecrated for the third time in 10 days when vandals threw prayer books and shawls on the floor and shattered the building's windows. July 5th, 2012, Toulouse. A 17-year-old student at a Jewish school where 4 Jews were murdered by Mohamed Merah on March 19th was assaulted on a train going from Toulouse to Lyon. June 8th, 2012, Sarcelles, France. 18-year-old Jew physically assaulted and had a phone stolen by assailants who were shouting anti-Semitic insults. June 2nd, 2012, Lyon. 3 Jewish youth wearing skull caps assaulted while walking to a Jewish school. A group of more than 10 Muslim assailants surrounded the youths chanting "Dirty Jew" and beat them with hammers and bars. March 26, 2012, Paris. A 12-year-old boy was beaten outside the Ozar HaTorah Jewish school in Paris by Arab youths reciting anti-Semitic slogans. March 19, 2012, Toulouse. 4 Jews shot and killed at the Ozar HaTorah Jewish school by an armed Muslim terrorist on a motorcycle. His name, Mohamed Merah. Shall I go on? The fact of the matter is the Holocaust is in its early phases in Europe, and Obama is ignoring it with the big lie, talking about a video made by a shadowy character who lives here and was offensive to Mohammed. Make no mistake about it. They're out to kill all of us. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What?
focusing on the vile people in the media. And I'm going to ask you something. Who do you think, well, who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who is the most deceptive, fraudulent, duplicitous? Who misrepresents the most? Who's the biggest bluffer? Who's the most dishonest? Who is the most treacherous? Who is the most chicane? Who is the biggest dupe? Who is trying to pull humbuggery on you? Who is pulling the greatest hocus pocus on the American people? Who is guilty of being the greatest forger of truth? Who is the greatest rogue in the media? Who is involved in the greatest trickery? Who do you despise the most in the media? There's a long list, but you need to tell us why you despise the person so that perhaps we can shame them. Shame them, I doubt it, because I don't think they have any shame. I also think that they have such a level of drug, they're drugged to such an extent that even if they heard your insult, they wouldn't care. And so don't give up so fast. The important thing to remember is you have to vote. And you have to get other people to vote. And you have to motivate some people who say it's not worth it. There's no difference. Oh, yes, there is a difference. I can give you two answers as to why Romney would be better than Obama. You want to hear them? The words are Mitt Romney as opposed to Hussein Obama. Do I make myself clear? We'll go on. Now, who do you despise the most in the media and why? That's the question. Let's start. John, go ahead, please.
Rachel Maddow. Not a scintilla of objectivity, snide, sarcastic to the other side, is only pulling for one side. It's so obvious, it's not funny.
I'll tell you what bothers me about Ray. Ray bothers me not so much for her left-wing bias. She's entitled to that. It's her sophomoric snicker that troubles me. She thinks she's talking to girlfriends in a sorority somewhere where they all are in on the same joke. It is sophomoric. It's boring. It's not a college classroom. It's not a college lounge. They're not just smoking pot and drinking beer. And it's a shame that Jeffrey Immelt doesn't understand that we the people will not buy another light bulb from General Electric if they keep it up. Thanks for the call. Other than that, I have no opinion on Ray. Ray. Old Ray. Good old Ray. Oh, I got some list. Good names up here now. Some of my favorites are up there. There was a time when there was a sort of right-wing media in this country. That was 50, 60 years ago. I would say just, sorry, I'm showing my age. 1950s, you would say you had a media that was gung-ho love America, gung-ho love the military, gung-ho the police are always right. In other words, the media at that time had everything right. We now have a media that has everything wrong, which is why we have what we have in the White House. And the media lapdogs are in such a state of meltdown that these slobs, these slobbering lapdogs, have no bottom to where they will go. And I don't have an answer for it. I mean, I've used the phrase red diaper doper baby. I knew the phrase red diaper baby when I grew up. I knew who they were. They were kids who were sent to communist camps, mainly in the Poconos of Pennsylvania by communist parents. And they were inculcated in communist philosophy in camps. So they were called red diaper babies. Their parents were largely union members, mainly the needle trades. The ILGWU had such a camp. And many of their children today are lockstep left-wing fanatics. But I added the other D to it, the RDDB, the red diaper doper baby, because I believe that the disease has metastasized this rapidly and this completely owing to the inclusion of dope, that is marijuana, into the quotient. And so that's what we have today. And I asked you, who do you despise the most and why? Now, there's enough blame to go around, God only knows, but the treachery of the media is almost satanic in its fiendishness. If you look at what they're doing, they're outright lying. It's hard to comprehend how they hold on to their jobs. So you say, well, their bosses want them to do it. So then you have to ask yourself, why do the bosses of NBC, for example, want the lapdogs on MSNBC to continue lying? Why would they hire a gutter rat like Al Sharpton, an uneducated gutter rat, a man implicated in the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire that killed seven, the man who was involved in a Tawana Brawley scandal where they made up a story about a detective who smeared a black lady with feces. It was all a lie. Why would General Electric get in the gutter with Al Sharpton? You can't figure it out? If he's on the air making over $1 million a year, he's not in the streets protesting outside General Electric headquarters saying pay your fair share. And the same is true for the rest of them. They're fundamentally puppets of the holding company. But they themselves don't even know it. Or do they? But, you know, that's only one example. Who do you despise the most because of their treachery? I think it's a very important topic because somehow, all human beings want to be loved. And most of these liberals need to be loved more than you may imagine. And although you may think they'll sneer or snicker at what you're about to say, it will get back to them. So let's go. Let's take the callers. Let's hear why, though. The question is not so much who do you despise, but why? What do they do that gets you the most? When you see them, I'm talking about someone in the media who actually makes you crazy, that you start to squirm and get angry. You want to break something. That's it. I want someone who viscerally makes you crazy. Who and why? Alabama, Charles, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Let me tell you something. There are three specific instances. When Judy Woodward, when President Bush won the election on CNN, she almost physically cried while reporting it. That she was just in such disbelief.
Well, I don't know who Judy Woodward is. Who is she? She's a skinny broad on one of the channels. I don't know who she is.
Yeah. She was on CNN at the time. Where
is she today? Is she working in a Burger King somewhere?
I'm not exactly sure.
I think she's in the Dan Rather School of Broadcasting somewhere in Texas. So she's marginalized herself not only by her inability to tell the truth from fiction. Who do you find the most obnoxious? Let's put it that way. We're sitting in a bar. We're having a beer. And one guy turns to you and says, you know, blah, 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 media's biased. Which of the liberal media in the who gets you the most? Which one?
This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
When the lights go down in the city.
So who do you not like the most? Here's one of my favorites. Steve, go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
It's actually a guy that fills in for the shillelagh from time to time, but most of the time they bring him on for debates. His name is Juan Williams. Apparently,
oh, God.
In Cuba when he
oh
was
my God! Is he? He's an embarrassment.
He sits there and rolls his eyes. He shakes his head no all the time, and he scrunches his face every time a conservative is talking on the other side when they have the split.
Yeah. Well, Juan Williams is.
He is.
That's about says it all. He looks like he's struggling maximum 40 watts, with full current running through his base. No, I'm serious. I mean, what do you want from the guy? It was all he was given. That's all he got at the get-go. He was given a 40 water inside the brain between the ears. Here's another one that's on my favorite list. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I gotta go with Al Sharpton, and I'll tell you why. I know that you brought him up already. But, you know, he's propped up as if he knows something, and he's so obviously unintelligent when he speaks. What disgusts me most is the hordes of people that believe the junk that he spews.
Well, you have to look at his past. They call him Reverend Sharpton, yet no one knows if he actually has earned a degree in theology. I believe it was granted to him when he was 5 years old. From a storefront somewhere in Benson-Stuyvesant. Number two, he was involved in a Tawana Brawley lie about Detective Pagonis, which I've never forgotten. The Freddy's Fashion Mart fire. He was a rent-a-mobber. How in the world could anyone take that man seriously is beyond me. But again, you have to understand why Jeffrey Immelt of GE told his stooge, at NBC to hire him. If he's in a studio, how could he be protesting outside GE headquarters? You understand? It's a safe place to keep him locked.
Sure, I mean, I guess he is on MSNBC.
In other words, if you're GE and you're not paying taxes because you all have 1,000 accountants, many of whom worked for the IRS, and they've come up with one loophole after another, and you hear this guy screaming about the rich should pay more, and you're laughing all the way to the bank because you're not paying taxes, wouldn't you rather have him inside a studio with hot lights on him where you know where he is rather than out in the street with a rent-a-mob?
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's all. You see, you have to understand how these things work. You have to see how it works. It's all economic. It's economic, that's all. They got a guy, he's locked up in the studio. At least they know where he is for a certain number of hours a day. He's not outside Jeffrey Immelt's house, for example. He's not outside the limo with, hey, hey, ho, ho, fair taxes have got to go. Hey, hey, you know what I'm saying? He's in the studio. They probably get him to give speeches around junior high schools afterwards to know where he is after school. Media lapdogs. It's a new level of embarrassment. So the last refuge of the scoundrel is the media, as you well know, and hiding behind the television set, leg crossing, makeup, lights, stooges that say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to everything you do. And you never actually see the audience who's laughing at you, mocking you, or not watching you. And so consequently, the only power I have over these people is to have you, the people, tell them through my show, through the radio, through the microphone, who you despise the most and why. Because some of this, you don't know how this works. I do. You say, look, I'm mentioning their names. They're never going to hear it. What you don't know is they are going to hear it. They won't hear it through their enemies. They're going to hear it through their, quote, friends. People who actually despise them, who pretend they're their friends, will come to them like Brutus and say, you know, I heard something terrible said about you the other day on the Michael Savage show. And they say, I don't want to hear it. Say, well, you have to hear what they said. One day they will come to understand that the mirage they're putting out is not being accepted by the masses of people. And we're all in danger. The reason I'm doing this is not out of petty jealousy. We are in such danger, not only of the collapse of the society, but the collapse of Western civilization itself. Radical Islam is at war with the West. They don't want to live in the 20th, 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 14th century. They're very happy beating their wives, putting them in burqas, mutilating them, and burning synagogues and cursing Jews and Christians. It suits their temperament. And so if you think otherwise, you're living in a dream world. It's never going to change. The fact of the matter is, there's a big story about a cartoon or someone put out a video and they went berserk, right? That's the cover story. Do you have any idea what is published every day in Arab newspapers? Do you have any idea what symbols of Jewish stars and American flags and crosses, in what derogatory forms they are presented in the so-called Muslim world? Have you any idea how they spit on the Bible, spit on Christians, spit on Jews, spit on the American flag? Have you any idea that they have been at war with you from the time you were born? Have you no idea what you're facing? No, you don't. Because it's been purged from your schools, your school books, your textbooks. It's been purged from your universities. It's been purged from virtually everywhere. For example, here's the president going on the television show Letterman, and he says, here's what happened. You had a video made by a shadowy character. Again, the big lie, when his own State Department now is coming around to the reality. I am the body armor for liberal eyes, trying to save the body politic from any more shrapnel. The media lapdogs in hot pursuit of the wrong story is a great, great article by Charles Hurt, where he writes, we're in the midst of witnessing right now is a complete Fukushima-style meltdown of the mainstream media. Without these slobbering lapdogs, President Obama never would have been elected in the first place, and now they are his only hope for staying in office amid all the global violence, a morbidly paralyzed economy, and a national crisis of confidence so profound the American dream has become nothing more than quaint fiction for millions. Years after Obama promised to ease Arab hatred of America, the Middle East burns hotter than ever. Polls show America has never been more deeply despised. Respected newspapers around the world report that the Obama administration was explicitly warned days before the attack on the American consulate in Libya, in which our ambassador was brutally killed. Yet, but the big lie goes on. I want you to listen to the president on a television show the other night in clip 20. Listen carefully.
The ambassador to Libya killed in an attack on the consulate in Benghazi.
Right.
Is this an act of war? Are we at war now?
No.
What happens here?
Well, here's what happened. You had a video that was released by somebody who lives here, a shadowy character, who is an extremely offensive video directed at the at Muhammad and Islam.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
Making fun of the Prophet Muhammad.
No, suddenly Letterman, the atheist, is the Prophet Muhammad. He's a prophet now. How about the Prophet Jesus or the Prophet Abraham, the Prophet Isaac? No, only reserved again for the one religion. It's unbelievable to me. But even that lie of Obama, that we had a video, even they're retracting this now. Administration admitted that Benghazi's attack was a terrorist event. Not only that, Mr. Obama, but it's come out that the instigator of the killing of our ambassador was released by you from Guantanamo prison. Yeah, that's right. That's right. As I said to you, liberalism is a mental disorder. Intelligence sources now believe attack in Libya is tied to Al-Qaeda. One key player was released from Guantanamo and handed over to Libyans. Thank you, liberals. The same liberals who would like to try the terrorists in New York City are now not even admitting that those they released from Guantanamo, not only have we known for months that many of them go back to terrorism, they're the worst of the worst. They should have been executed at Guantanamo. There should be an electric chair at Guantanamo, not a soccer field. There should be a guillotine at Guantanamo, not a softball field. And instead of giving them halal meals, you should be giving them something else. But no, the liberal way, of course, is to cater to the murderer, cater to the terrorist, cater to the mass murderer, cater to the rapist. It's unbelievable to me. And it's hard to understand how he gets away with this, other than that we have the worst media in the history of the United States of America. And that brings us back to the question of the day, which I've been asking you. Who do you despise the most in the media and why? And when I say despise, I mean when you see him or her, who makes you crazier? Which is the most Janus-faced of the bunch? Who creates such anger in you that you start to foam, that you rage, that you try to tell your wife you can't look at him or her anymore, and no one wants to hear you? Your dog walks away from you. When you start to rage when you see one of them talk, you go crazy, you change the channel. You lose your appetite. You can't smoke a cigar for hours afterwards. You can't even have a drink. Which one of these ambidextrous fools, in other words, gets your goat the most and why? And the important part of the question is why. Now, the reason I'm performing this stunt today on the Savage Nation is to hope in some way these criticisms of the vermin in the media will get back to them. And maybe the media lapdogs will be so embarrassed. Who knows? But you know, some of them are actually married. I know you find it hard to believe, but some of them actually have a wife somewhere and they're a husband, which means that somewhere they have a child, usually a grown child, or by now some of them may have a grandchild. And what often happens is that the grandchild or child is often not liberal. They are usually the opposite of the parent or grandparent, whether it's rebellion or realism, it's hard to say. So it could be that your criticism, for example, of one of them, one of these shadowy figures in the media, who works for one of the many corporations that own the government media complex, your criticism of one of these shadowy figures in the media could be brought up to that person by their granddaughter. You never know what could happen. You have no idea what happens when you speak, because when you speak, people hear you. If you had any idea how vast my audience is, I don't think you understand that I'm the author of 6 best-selling New York Times books in a row. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, including my first novel, Abuse of Power. Now, I'm boasting about it. You know why? Because nobody else will. And if I'm not for myself, who will be? Nobody. So the fact of the matter is, you can read anything you want about me, but most of it is not true. But what is true is what you're hearing. It is a very large audience. It's a very dedicated audience. It's a highly educated audience. I have probably the highest, most... I remember when I used to do local radio, they did demographics of talk radio. And at that time, the demographics of my show were such that I pulled the highest income earners. At the time, it was $75,000 a year or more, which is very high for radio listeners, incidentally. Most radio listeners are in the bottom 47% in that they have a lot of spare time. They don't work for a living. They have nothing to do. Because most people who have something to do, truthfully, don't listen to the radio. I know it's hard to believe. It's really a quagmire that you fall into in radio, is that the people that you want to listen to you can't because they're working, or won't because they're too busy. And so what you get are the Obama voters who are not sure of themselves, and they listen to conservative radio. And after about 6 weeks of hating me, they start to say, you know, he's right. I actually agree with him, but I'm voting for Obama anyway. Because where else am I going to get a food stamp from? Where else am I going to get the money to go gamble in Atlantic City unless I vote in a Democrat? So it's futile in a way, and I understand that. Many of you like to go and say, I'll tell you who I hate the most. It's you, you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So let's go to the matter at hand. And by the way, I'm not limiting it to the to liberals. If you don't like somebody on the other side of the aisle, you got to call us and tell us why. I'll take the call because we can have fun with it just as well. So who gets your goat the most and why? We're talking about the worst of the worst in the media, but I'm going to take a diversion for a minute. Who will get top jobs in a Romney administration? Just came out in the Foreign Policy Press. It's actually frightening. You want to hear some of the names? National Security Transitions Chief is former World Bank President Bob Zoellick. Can you believe this? A Clintonite. Former Senator Jim Talent, Defense Secretary. Or possibly former Navy Secretary John Layman. For Secretary of State, Joe Lieberman. Let's see who else. Zoellick, as you well know, is a longtime Clintonite. He could also wind up the head of the CIA or the head of the national security positions. A dark horse candidate under Romney for state would be CIA Director David Petraeus. That's the name. How about some other names? Romney might go for retired General Jack Keane as national security advisor. Well, that would be who Obama picked, the girl from a college class. Then there are other rumored names. Let's see. Romney's NSA, Eric Edelman, never heard of him. Elliot Abrams, never heard of him. Mitchell Reese, never heard of him. Dan Senior, never heard of him. See, these are all policy people in the background, the types that are interchangeable between administrations. They live for this. How about former Undersecretary of State John Bolton? Why is he not getting any play by Romney? That's very interesting. The answer is because Romney, as I said to you, is a middle-of-the-roader. Romney is a Rockefeller Republican. Romney is, at the end of the day, and I'm going to vote for him. I told you that. I mean, I'm not mincing words. I am biased. It's anyone but a communist of who's done the damage to this country that Obama has done on every level. Now let's go back to the callers on the Savage Nation with the topic at hand, which is who in the media riles you the most and why? Vito, who's your candidate for the worst?
Dr. Savage, it's got to be, for me, hands down, Chris Matthews. If I was ever in a bar with him, I would have to leave because I would give him a blanket party.
A blanket party. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I think it's violent, isn't it?
Somewhat, but he is such a degenerate. I feel that he is like looking underneath looking up at Obama like he's some kind of god, and it disgusts me.
Here's the thing about Chris Matthews. You got to recognize he was a party operative for years for the Democrat Party. What more do you need to know? He's part of the government media complex. NBC hired him specifically to tout Democrat Party issues because that's the game they play. NBC is owned by the Democrat Party, and they made a trade-off. We won't tax you if you don't attack us. So, in other words, don't take him seriously. He's just a party spokesman, like many of them. You know, you may not like some on the other side, but I don't know anyone on the conservative side that ever worked for the Republican Party except Karl Rove.
Chris Matthews, he wrote a book on Ted Kennedy. My uncle used to run the COPA back in the 60s, and I don't want to tell you the stories that they used to tell me about Ted Kennedy coming in there to be serviced by the Spanish girls. I mean, it was disgusting.
Oh, so you're from a nightclub background. That's what you mean by a blanket.
Yeah, blanket party's the term where the guy doesn't see you and he gets his lights put out, you know?
Wait, wait, hold on. I think your daughter, is that your granddaughter or your daughter telling you to not say such a thing on radio?
Actually, that is my 5-year-old son, Dr. Savage.
Now, if I sent you a free copy of my bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, would you appreciate that for the election?
It would be on the appreciation. It would go on my mantle of my house.
All right, you're getting a free copy sent down. Life is a series of terrors with an occasional an occasional plateau of happiness and beauty. If anyone tells you it's the other way around, they're lying to you or they're drug addicts. Life is terrifying. You know what real life is? It's a holy terror. That's why you're born screaming. And you die screaming. Do you understand that? Do you understand that, mister? That life is not what the teacher told you. Life is not what these freaks in America are trying to teach your children. Life is a nightmare. It's horrible. That's why you're born screaming. That's why you die screaming. But occasionally, as I said, there is a brief respite here and there. I had one last night. And the tougher you make your kid, the happier your kid's going to be. And the tougher you raise the kid, the happier his life is going to be. And the softer you make your son, the worse his life is going to be. The softer you make your son, the more he's going to be stepped on and turned into a worm. I remember when I first moved out here, oh, no, we don't have air conditioning out in these parts. Our fog is on national air conditioning. Yeah, all right, you're smart, are you smoking? I don't know about you, but I can't take the heat. So I got air conditioning in every house I own. I can turn it into a refrigerator wherever I am. We used to call it Indian summer, but we're not allowed to call it that anymore, so we'll call it Native American summer. We had a Native American summer night. Hot, beautiful. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to fire up the old 65 Caddy convertible. And strangely enough, I bought this car in 1994 when I started in radio. It had 52,000 miles on it. It's red. It's 19 feet, 6 inches long. You know, it's from an era in America that I can remember very well. My father was still alive. It was a different world, right? The windows are almost a half an inch thick on the car.